Hey guys, welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Right out the gate, I want to give you guys a little pre-warning. So, as you saw the title, Shop Talk, we were at Shooter's Archery. Josh and Kristen McDaniel own that shop in Linton.
Linton, Indiana. Get it right.
But I like to call it Linden because it seems like it just Linden. It feels better. But basically, they let us take over the shop on a Sunday right after Josh's birthday. So we are very, very thankful for them and allowing us to do that. Josh tuned all our bows in. Kristen held the four down. They bought us pizza. They bought us beer. It was a very welcoming experience
for us. It was awesome.
Shooters is a top-notch bow shop, and I can't stress that enough. If you're in that area within a couple hours, I highly recommend the drive to go out there and get your bow tuned up, get archery advice from Josh and Kristen. They're top-notch people.
They know what they're doing.
It is a pro shop.
Yeah. Legit pro shop. And for everyone that's not in the area, you can have your bow shipped there. Josh will tune it and ship it back. He can build arrows. It's literally a custom shop. You want something done, call them. They can accommodate for you. They're willing to ship back and forth wherever you are. So if you're looking for that next level, whatever it is for your setup, they can accommodate for you and make something work for you. So I can't stress that enough. This is one of the best bow shops I've ever been to, if not the best bow shop I've ever been to.
I mean, everything from hunting to the target industry, they can do anything for you.
Anything. Like, as far as you want to take it, they can do it.
Mm-hmm. And Josh will literally set your bow up to a T.
Yes. He's awesome. He's so personable. He'll explain things, why he's doing what this is for, why he does this versus this method.
He sets every bow up like he's setting his own bow up.
Yep.
He even paper tuned it, which I've never had someone do that before at a shop.
I mean, bare shaft tuning, he can do it all. It's really cool. So this podcast, we weren't on mics. Josh was literally tuning our bows, and I grabbed the recorder. I'm like, hey, I'm going to do just a shop talk. I hit the button, and I just started walking around. Yep. So just a pre-warning, it's not studio quality. It's we're in an echoey archery range bouncing around, and it goes from talking to Josh to talking to Kristen to talking to whoever.
To drinking beer
to talking. Joe was holding the recorder while I went through and shoot a pile of bows and give my bullshit reviews on them. And all the bows were like way too long. So it's a joke review. I'm not giving a legitimate review. Keep that in mind because I know there's going to be some people.
We were having fun.
Don't take it to heart.
Yeah, don't take it to heart. It's all in good fun. But it was awesome. A great experience. We appreciate the hell out of the McDaniels. Awesome people. So check out Shooters Archery. Support what they do. This is their livelihood. They've poured everything they have into archery.
Heart and souls, man.
You
can tell they're very passionate about what they do.
Yeah.
They take it very seriously.
Yes. Yeah. So hope you enjoy this podcast. It's a lot of fun. It's a true shop talk podcast. And Doug has a veteran shout out.
I do.
The veteran shout out this week is also brought to you by T&K Hunting Gear. And this veteran will get a T&K Bino Harness sent to them for making the shout out. So big shout out to T&K Hunting Gear for supporting our veterans. They are a veteran-owned, made-in-America company, and super thankful for them to back us. And the sponsorship just means they're giving free gear.
And it's worth to follow them on social media.
Trust me.
Yeah.
It's very worth it.
You'll get a chuckle. Take it away, Doug.
All right. This was submitted by Garrett Hendricks, and the veteran is Bradley Hendricks, and he was a Marine. He is my father. It says he is my father. He served from 86 to 92. He raised both my brother and I, right? He served in the Desert Storm. My brother and I grew up both to join the Marines. I got both my brother and dad into bow hunting and approved my dad buying his first bow like I was the parent. He loves the late October sits between two egg fields. He now works at Kinsey Manufacturing and farms part-time with my uncle. He's a stand-up dude and has been there for me in every manner of life. Even if he can't hang with when I buy him the good cigars, which is nice.
He's an Iowa boy if he works at Kinsey.
Oh, yeah. He knows what's up.
Not too far from us.
Not too far at all. Yeah. I mean, less than an hour, right?
From
From the studio, probably about an hour.
Yeah, from my house, you make it there in about an hour.
Oh, so he's a little further.
From my house, you're there in
very cool.
45 minutes.
Well, thank you for submitting that shout out. Thank you, sir, for your service. That's really cool. You're a local boy.
Thank you, Bradley.
Local guy. Awesome. Well, cool. Hope you enjoy that T&K. Bino harness. It's good shit. And I think you'd be proud when you wear it, especially when you go to their social media and Like, fuck yeah. I'll wear this with pride now.
Fucking America, baby.
Get all aggressive with it. So, all right, guys. We'll hope you enjoy this podcast. We get to paying the bills here, and we'll jump right into it. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports, and you can use code WCB15 to save yourself some coin at HHASports.com. American-made, veteran-supported, and I think one of the best archery sight brands on the planet. So,
lifetime warranty.
Yeah, it's awesome. You drop it from your tree stand and snap the thing off, then, well, just let them know.
And they give back to veterans, so.
Yeah, it's hard to hate on that. And if you're curious about a single-pin sight, I highly suggest looking into HHA.
Or light tanks.
Or rest, you know. Yeah. Single pin, get a lot of questions about them. We love them. I always say give it a try. I think you'd be open to... I think you'll realize how awesome they are when you start shooting.
You'd be surprised. Like, it'd almost be hard to go back now.
But they also offer a three-pin sight also if you want to still stick with that option.
Yeah, with the same
just
platform.
Just want to dip your toes in the water.
Just get a little wet there. Podcast also brought to you by Scent Crusher. The Rapid Mobile Shower, we have the Working Class Bowhunter Edition, so please check that out. If it's not out yet, it should be any day. Mm-hmm. We're working on getting all that rocking. So,
where can people find that?
Well, it will be, you go to workingclassbowhunter.com, and we'll have a click-through link for you that'll take you to a special link with Scent Crusher to get our special edition. To help support us, show Scent Crusher that you think we're the real deal, and that always helps. They have their Halo series out. They have a whole new line of bags, room cleans, all the goods. So check it out, scentcrusher.com. Also, Loophole Optics, very thankful to be supported by a brand like Loophole. Great people there. Very, very high-quality products. The rangefinders, the binos is just amazing. That's one I always heard, you know, put your money into good optics because you won't regret it, mm-hmm. and I definitely can back that now. It's good optics make a huge difference in what you're doing.
I think we've all used crappy pairs of binos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised the difference.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure. Had the Walmart pairs, you know, going from, you know, in the field, 3D archery to hunting with them and everything. It's just, you know, I live through my loopholes now.
It's a major advantage.
I feel naked if I don't have them on me.
Absolutely.
Also, Thermoset and Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, outfitting the working class. I'm super thankful to be partnered with good people like that, an Iowa-based company. By all your favorite brands there, GatorOutdoors.com. Follow them all social media. It's a feel-good page when you follow them. Also, Elite Archery. Use code WCB at EliteArchery.com or any outdoor group products and save yourself, I believe, 20%?
I think so.
We should know our codes, but we're all shooting the Cure this year. Big Tine, food plot seed, supplemental feed, mineral. Big Tine has something for you in your state where legal. Code WCB2020 saves you 20% out of everything Big Tine. Hunter's Blend Coffee. And Eric is going to take some trips to Old Barn Taxidermy.
This year. That's right.
Are you?
Yep. I already got it penciled in.
Yeah, oh, nice. He already called Sam up, said, "Hey, boy, I'll see you here after this hunt, and then I'll see you after this, after you know whatever date you told him."
During I'll see White you Kills. When
yep.
I see you.
Yeah, and then Doug's mustache got a little tingly, and he said, "Yep, me
it was,
too."
He was wiggling at me.
It's weird.
It was a little tingly.
It's a connection.
That was weird.
Thank you to all our supporters. We appreciate the hell out of you so much, and it's kind of cool to have companies like that back us when we are as stupid as we are.
That's true. Hey. We are pretty fucking stupid.
Our gains are lost. You know what I'm saying? All right, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
Working class.
We're doing a pop-up podcast here at Shooters Archery in Linden.
Linton, Indiana. So we're here getting our Elite Cures set up. Josh McDaniel is kind enough to let us take over the shop on a technically on your day off. I probably shouldn't say that, huh? Everyone's going to think they get day off treatment.
Yeah, they're going to think that.
Yeah, it's double time, though, for coming out on Sundays.
Hey, we're recording a podcast.
All right, what are you going to do here?
Shoot it.
Shoot it?
Aim at the yellow.
Yep. Eric's shooting his cure for the first time.
Is peep good? Do you go up or down?
You need to go up.
Okay, stand up. Take your finger off for me. Too much or?
Damn near perfect.
Okay. Go ahead and let her eat. So shot a little low.
What do you think, Eric?
Oh, real nice.
So I just kind of turned the podcast recorder on. Now I'm literally walking around the shop. I've never done a podcast like this. What are you doing, Josh, right now? So you already set me up, so now I'm bothering everybody.
Yes, right now we're going through the process. We're getting Eric's all set up on his peep site. We're wanting to get it. He's a real advocate of making sure that sucker, once we get it set, we're going to tie it in so it cannot be, it can't budge.
Like
so,
from a branch or something like that when he's hunting.
Yep, so I want to get a sight picture real close, and then we're going to get her tiled in. Perfect. And then we're going to shoot through some paper here in a second.
That peep's really good.
What do you think? I feel good?
Does.
What site you're rocking? A Tetra, HHA Tetra, HHA Virtus.
The Tetra Max.
Tetra Max. You're not doing a kisser or anything like that, or a brass knock?
I will. I'm going to.
Yeah, we can go ahead and do that now if you want. Does that peep real close where it needs to be, though?
Like height-wise?
Height-wise, yes. And now I'll fix the rotation there. I'll add a half a twist to it.
Yeah, that's like perfect right there.
Okay, cool. And we might need to, because we're going, obviously shooting low, so what's cool about the riser design on the Elites, we can also drop down. There's another set of holes in the riser that'll drop you down one hole too. You don't have to always do just this.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yep. There's different.
Because obviously on your
HHA.
There's
these holes too, right? Where you can. Is that?
That's what he's talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Bring it back to that hole back there. Okay. That'll help drop it down a little bit more.
So you just kind of get everyone's bows roughed in, and then you basically make everything permanent from there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then once we get everything kind of set, even on his draw, how's your drawing feel? Does it feel a little long or does it feel pretty good?
He feels pretty good.
Feel pretty good? Okay. Yeah. Which this is all cool, too. I mean, this is what's cool about the new Elites is you can actually adjust it all yourself. Before, it's all been a mod system. You had to have a press.
Right.
Now you can actually tinker with a let-off. And you can even go to the draw stops if you want. Right now, you guys are running the cable stops. So you're hitting here when you come to the wall.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then you can screw in the limb stops, which will actually come and hit this. And you'll have to play with it a little bit. It will change your draw length a little bit as you play with it.
I did notice that shooting mine. Because the cable stops always feel a little, they're squishier than that hard
cable. And I tell you what, a lot of guys, though, when they're shooting a hinge or a hex or something like that, what happens is it'll give you a little bit more give.
Yeah.
So when you start pulling, because you're pulling hard through that shot.
Yeah.
And when you're pulling hard, it'll give you a little bit of give, and it don't cost so much when it explodes. So you're getting against a hard wall. You love that high let off the hard wall, especially for hunting. But what some guys will do, they're pushing and pulling too hard, and it causes when it finally fires it. Causes the bow to radically shoot left to right.
So I shoot the Scott Hex. I'd be better off shooting with my cable stops.
Probably you just, it's really a comfort thing.
Yeah.
But you're a bow hunter,
not
so much a target archer.
Yeah.
But we're trying to find that middle ground. So you might find
bridging the gap between the two.
Right. At the end of the day, you're like me. You guys are, you're doing all the target stuff for hunting.
Right.
As in a target archer is doing it all for target. So we're trying to find all the strengths of the target world that we can bring over to the hunting world.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
So obviously, high let off, hard wall is nice for hunting. Especially you got a good buck and he stepped behind a tree. You're already full draw and he's standing right there for 30 seconds, 40 seconds. That's more important to have that high let off of that.
Yeah.
So you ain't got to let back down, make any kind of sudden movements. Especially when you got three does underneath you at the same time.
Right.
Trying to watch, four sets of eyes is kind of tough.
Right.
When you can just held back forever. Well, a target guy, most target guys really aren't a huge fan of that high let off.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because of the way the shot dynamic is. When you're pushing them pretty hard, they want that pull, that constant pull, low let off. As in, there's no pull on that. That high let off a lot of times is just kind of floating back there.
Well, let me ask you this, because I've always heard that target guys don't shoot a lot of let off, like you just said. But I guess that makes a lot of sense how you explained it. Does anything have to do with it with like shot lag. I don't know if that's a term. Like the higher the let off, it probably takes a little longer for that arrow to take off.
There's more room for error.
There's more room for error there. It's very minute, of course, but I'm sure they factor in all
when
that.
You get like, it's just a little more crisper with a lower let off.
Yeah.
But then you can relax too much and start to creep a little bit.
Right.
On the hunting side, we do not want that whatsoever.
Because it just ruins your shot.
Everyone's been there, too, and they get that little jump where you just relax too much.
A target guy, he's at full draw for 30 seconds, and it's within a shot time, and he's just letting down, reset, shoot again. Mm-hmm. We don't always get that.
Opportunity.
So if you got low let off, now you got to start timing when can I draw, when I can't. You know, if that buck, he's at, you know he's getting ready to be where he needs to be, but you're in a spot where it's just wide open, no leave, no cover, and he reaches back to scratch something, now's my time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know I still might have 5 yards before I get my shot. You ain't going to do that with 60% let off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like with a 90%, you're going to do that because you know you're probably going to get pegged if you don't do it now.
You can kind of relax and wait for him to then anchor and get your shot. So I know you're trying to set up Eric's bow, but I kind of just threw a podcast at you. So sorry I did that.
That's cool.
Earlier when we were talking, like you're going through these bows like with care and the process, where it's kind of the difference between a regular bow shop and a pro shop at this point. Where if you come to your bow shooters, or your bow shop shooters archery, and someone wants to fully tune their bow out, you can do that.
Yeah, I do. I do all that. That's usually the difference between a pro shop and just a regular old bow shop. There's nothing wrong with it because most of your basic bow hunters shooting 20 yards and in.
Yeah.
As long as it's halfway leveled and centered up or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of guys will go off all the center shot and the level, like all that stuff, starting points. Everybody's got a different finished result they want out of that bow. Like if I'm shooting fixed blade broadheads, now what's awesome about the Cure, it's going to allow you to actually center that bow, the center shot great, and then you can fix everything within the cam lean on that.
Gotcha.
With the limb pocket
without
design. Without a bow press. So like typically in the past, like your yoke cable, like your cam and a half systems, they have, you
like
can yoke
Hoyt
to
or something.
Yeah, like a Hoyt, where you're just going to twist one cable, one split or the other to manipulate that. You can keep your center shot perfect, which is awesome. That way your string is driving directly behind that arrow when it shoots.
Yeah, yeah.
So typically on a lot of other bows, like you get some of the Matthews systems with the top hat systems or some of the old the impulses and the energies, you had to use spacers.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to shift that cam over.
Right.
Or you got to manipulate the rest. So typically a lot of times, by the time I'm done bear shaft tuning and I'm getting in like perfect arrow flight for like a fixed blade broadhead situation,
yeah,
a lot of times my rest is pretty left to center.
Right.
So mentally, like a guy that's nerd with archery can't stand that. He can't stand to see that his rest is way to the left. It's driving tax. That's what that bow wants.
Yeah.
Typically what you got to do, then you got to go put spacers in it to shift that cam over to bring that back over.
Right.
It just becomes a headache.
How many hours have you had into like, I'm sure every bow has its own personality to a point.
Yep.
Like, is there a bow that you remember, and you don't got to like out the brand or anything, but that you remember just like, man, it's taking forever to get this where we need it. Like you just had hours into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a common thing?
Yeah. Not anymore. Yeah. Today's day with most of these bows, they're all pretty. Yeah. All
and
pretty
I'm sure
simple.
It depends on too, how much you actually want to nerd out and get that shit exactly set up.
How convenient is it that he uses his longbow cover as his cock glove?
Hey,
Joe Humphries, everybody.
Do on purpose, Joe.
But no, these days, most of these bows, what you'll have to do, if anything, it's all about the spacers and the cam, which in my line of work, when I'm busy this time of year, it's a real pain in my ass.
Because you're trying to take care of everybody.
Yeah, and I got to put that bow in the press. I might have to. There's all these different diameter spacers. So, there's not a go-to necessarily.
It's like a shim, pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty much a shim. So I had to put that in there, and then I got to put it in there. We got to shoot the paper again. Then realize, okay, we got to go back over one more time.
Right.
Put it back in there again. Take all the cams
it's
off.
It's super tedious, and when you're trying to get people in and out.
They kind of simplified that whole system here.
Just doing your own particular bows on a Saturday.
Yeah.
No big deal. Just knock it out.
Like
but me,
dink with it.
Yeah, I can't spend an hour with every customer this time of year. It's just almost impossible.
Yeah.
But when you go back over there, can you run us through this whole, like if we have to change draw weight or draw length or one of that?
Yeah, it's pretty
so
simple.
We can do that, yeah.
Yep. Now, this is the first year Elite's went to that, which makes my life so much easier now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing. I got to change mods. You find out that you're a 29 and a half or a 29 or whatever, and I got it at 28 and a half or whatever. Well, before I got to take the mods out, I got to keep tinkering until we get it. Same thing. I got to put it in the press, take all the cables off,
yeah,
and I got to loosen everything, pop those out, put them in. Now I literally just got to rotate the mod there until we fine-tune what you want.
And what do you guys carry for bow brands? So if somebody's like, you know, elites are cool, but I might want to do something else.
Yeah, I carry Matthews. We carry, obviously, Elite and Bowtech, PSE. Just got on board with PSE. They're doing big things right now. And they kind of own that market right now with that $300 to $500 bow. That's actually a pretty good performing bow.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually, what's cool about them is they have that bow that it's a $500 bow, but it performs like a $600. So guys feel like he's actually getting some value there. Not to throw some other brands under the bus, but there's other companies that they kind of have that three to five, but it performs as a five, performs like a four.
And they're like,
oh, it's all about what you pay for. Well, right. I mean, these days, man, it's hard to find a bad bow, but everybody has a budget that they stay within, especially by the time you get sights, rests, arrows, all that stuff. And guys will tell me, and I'd rather spend more money, I'm better at money on the arrows, the rest, the sight, and get you a nice $500-$600 bow.
The parts that you can move from bow to bow.
Yeah, exactly. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a difference between a $1,000 bow and a $600 bow, $500 bow.
For sure.
But if a guy, he just is on a tight budget and he's wanting to get a brand new bow, they're not bad. I mean, I think back 20 years ago when I was hunting, I'm like, how did I even kill deer with what I was using compared to now? These people just getting in archery now have such a luxury. I mean, it's the technology is gone.
Even when I got into, 2013, it's changed so much.
Imagine going back to shooting like this cure that you just shot and go back and shoot your bow from 2013. Like, still good, still kill deer, nothing wrong with it.
Yep.
But the feel of it, you're like, wow, man, it's crazy.
Dude, this thing's ancient.
Dude, when I was a kid, like, a 40-yard shot was like what 80 yards is now. Like, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
back then,
it's a 30-yard and end game
for
at
sure.
tops. 30s was like 60-yard shots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, ultimately, most of us, if you're any good at whitetail hunting, most of your shots are still 20 yards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
There's those one-off chances that you still have, and this is my
sell on a lot of guys. Like, I sell a lot of the Engage hybrid sights. It's that, you know, that hybrid, like, during the rut, you got three pins fixed, and you got 20, 30, 40. In most cases, like Kristen, she's usually not even touching her sight in the rut.
Yeah.
Because things are chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get caught playing with that. Well,
so we set our HHAs at 20 almost. That's where it just sits, pretty much.
That's what I said before on the podcast, too. Like, I set mine at 20, and I'll keep it at 20 and back up and see how far I can go with that 20-yard pin.
Yeah. Still keep it in the kill shot.
Yeah, I can't remember what Scott Bakken calls that term. He did some videos with HHA about that. But
that's where I learned it from, Scott.
I don't remember. Anyway, it's just basically knowing where your pin's going to fall out.
Yeah, right, you got to practice that stuff.
Mine's just like that 30-31 spot.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah. This is what I tell guys, though. You know, you guys hear it all the time because you guys practice long range.
Yeah.
But, like, well, that's not ethical. You're never going to take a shot at deer that far.
Archery is a close game.
It's a close game. Yeah. And I get that. In some cases, especially as edgy as a whitetail is, but I will tell you this, especially we bow hunt turkeys quite a bit.
Yeah.
That you need to have that, still practice that long range, makes those close shots obviously like slam dunks.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, things happen in the bow hunting world. Limbs all of a sudden appear out of places they never were before.
Yeah.
And you punch one and he runs out there and now he's at 67 and a half yards. That becomes an ethical shot to put another arrow in him. And if you've been practicing that all summer, you're not even hesitating.
Yeah.
You're popping one in and you're just going to get another arrow in him. But
that's a really good point.
But instead of having stacked full of pins, which you guys know, you guys all shoot an HHA one pin, so you know how much nicer it is when it comes to that clarity on that sight picture. You have one pin in there.
Yep.
I mean, you're always going to shoot better. And then even bow hunting, you don't have. There's not much to think about. It's just that one pin sitting there, perfect.
Right. Well, I like it too because it forces me to like range my target to the yard. So I always live by my rangefinder, but now it just makes it that much more important. So if a deer runs out, I'm ranging them before I shoot. So there's not like I got caught up in the moment and I shot him for 40 and he was 32 or something because my adrenaline, skewed my judgment. Or
whatever. And then that's my argument for guys that are like, well, I don't. You know, they start arguing about the one pin situation. Yeah. Just practice. Like, know your holdovers. Like, if you get caught in a situation, you know, and he runs out the 40 and you know it's 40 and you're still set on 20, know your holdovers. Like, where do I need to aim on that? Or if it's 37 yards and he runs out there, like, he's coming in, everything's perfect. You know, that buck's chasing that doe, and then, you know, man, and he takes five hops because he heard you too loud.
Yeah.
And he stops out there, now he's 37, you know it. Mm-hmm. Well, what's your holdover? Don't panic. Just that's part of practicing.
Yeah.
Like, it kills me that guys that come in here and they're like, I got 20, 30, 40, and that's all they shoot in the backyard.
Yeah.
20, 30, 40. Well, what happens when he's at 27 yards? What are you going to do? Tell me right now, quick. Tell me. And they're like,
they panic.
Too late.
It's out of their.
Like, yeah, you know, you study that. You need to be shooting that all the time to know what your holdovers are.
Shoot those different yardages.
Yep. Yeah. And you, it blows my mind, the guys that sit there, they have no idea.
Yeah. It's like their practice is, it's almost like you're practicing for a game, but you're not actually practicing for the game.
Right? Exactly. Right. And, you know, and it told most of their offense. I mean, early season, late season, that's usually how it is. It's okay, good, you know, Clint. But come the rut, I'm telling you right now, shit's thrown out the window. Like all those trails that you got ranged, those trails don't mean nothing when they're dogging a doe all over the place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's the name of the game. So you got to be prepared for the rut. And that's when most of us do most of our hunting anyway.
Yeah.
Like
most
of us take our vacations or our time off during where we could hunt all year long. You know, it's not the easiest time in the world to kill that one particular deer you're wanting, but you know that you can sit and stand all day and have luck all day.
You're going to have fun.
Yeah.
And opportunity could happen.
So,
well, I'll bounce around and let you get finished up on Eric's bow.
Okay,
we'll come back.
Good.
So I'm literally just walking around the shop with the recorder. We've never really done this. I'm like,
it's kind of cool, ain't it?
I feel like I need a camera. I'm gonna go bother somebody. Shad's over here shooting.
Just sneak up behind people.
He's shooting a traditional. He's wheels are for cars. Yeah.
Wheels are for cars.
We got Mustache Doug over here hanging out.
What's up? What's up?
And with Kristen McDaniel. What's up?
Hey.
Come on in, guys. I'm interviewing on the fly here.
On the fly.
What's up? You're last to get your bow tuned.
Yeah, saving the best for last, right, Josh?
I'm last.
Yeah, he knows.
Are you getting something tuned, Chad?
I'm buying this.
Are you buying that bow?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey.
Yeah. Hey, it was worth being
good
open
deal.
On our day.
Yeah, no kidding. Close. Hey, thanks for letting us just take over your shop the day after Josh's birthday.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming, guys.
Yeah, we.
How old are you? 37.
How does it work when you guys hunt together? How, like, who decides who gets to hunt and who's filming?
Oh, I get to hunt 100%.
Just your will.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Until I tag out.
Oh.
Is no, that really just
the,
kidding.
Is that the deal?
Sometimes, yeah. It depends. So we just started, though, in Kansas. We'll switch on and off, which I'm not a huge fan
every day
of.
Or what? Or every like morning hunt to afternoon
kinda
hunt?
Yeah. Mostly, yeah. But depending, because I'm like, well, then somebody gets stuck with, like, all mornings or somebody gets stuck with, like, all evenings.
Right.
So we usually do like the day, I guess, most of the time. But
for sure.
I don't know. I guess last year though he was after that big one, so I let him hunt way too much. So this year's
That's
my
nice,
year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were too nice to him.
We got to see Curly at the Big Time apartment.
Oh, did you?
That was cool to see that.
Yeah.
That's gotta be neat that you have like a replica at Big Time.
Yeah. Yeah, right? That's awesome.
Do you feel like because you've killed a lot of big deer. I feel like you're kind of like the Realtree. Anytime there's like a video from Realtree of like a woman hunter killing a monster buck of any kind, like it's you.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe you don't see it that way, but every time I'm watching, I'm like, oh, I know them. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like, you know?
It's Kristen.
There she is. She's so cool. So much cooler than Josh. You know?
So much cooler than me.
Yeah. So that's kind of fun. Do you ever rub that in Josh's face?
It all with mine.
No. He's been rubbing tight in my face pretty good. So,
yeah.
So no. But I still have the biggest... I still have the biggest buck with a bow, though. So
with a bow, he's got you on the gun.
Yeah, and just biggest overall.
We've seen a rub cover deer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Curly. Right. That's.
Yep. Curly. Okay. Yep.
I thought I had that right. Well, we appreciate you guys letting us take over. Not that I'm wrapping this up. It's kind of fun walking around with this thing. We're gonna go see what Joe Humphries is up to. He's shooting. We kind of just took over. We forced them to open up on their day off, and then we made them buy us pizza.
No, you guys didn't make us.
So that's what, she's all kind of
we're
podcast.
Terrible people.
Yeah, we're bad people. So it's pretty fun. Yeah, we do appreciate it. You guys have an awesome shop. I'm jealous that we don't have something similar to this in our area. It's just, not that we don't have bow shops in our area, but we don't have. This is more of like you can come here and get anything you want done to your setup and feel confident in it. And you guys like, I know there's not people waiting. So Josh like kind of walked us through. Oh, we're doing this because this to your bow and. You know, and I'm asking probably too many questions, and he's probably like, dude, just shut up and let me set your bow up.
Bows all day. Bows and hunting.
Yeah, Eric's back in the mix. We really do need to get like a bow press and stuff, like with the podcast crew. And we should just get all the equipment and start learning all this stuff together. That way we can.
You guys can do podcasts, by the way.
Hire Josh to come over.
Yeah, there you go.
Give you guys lessons on how to do this
stuff.
Yeah, because I'm sure he's got a ton of time for that. But that would be cool. That would be sweet.
Down what, November?
Yeah, show up November 5th.
We could do a turkey hunt, though.
Ooh, good.
That would be cool.
Come shoot your turkeys.
Yeah, hey, turkey.
There you go.
Hey, you guys should come to Turkey Palooza. I'm sure those guys would love you out there. We have that turkey party every year now.
Oh, yeah?
TJ and Brady came out 1 year, and they both killed birds. Like, first day, didn't they? Last year? Turkey Palooza, TJ, Brady, were you listening?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think of when they killed him.
Hi, Doug. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, Doug's here.
I was just thinking.
I think Chandler would love to have you guys out for Turkey Palooza. There's lots of birds.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's when I decapped that bird.
But
no, I think it'd be awesome. Well, TJ and Brady don't like us anymore. They didn't.
Yeah. For comedy purposes.
We should.
Because so, Josh, are you for turkey hunt this spring?
I'm always down for turkey hunt.
Yeah, we should do that. Like, turkey hunting's fun, but it's, like, way more fun with your buddies.
Yeah. Joe gets bored and starts grazing on foliage. Like, he'll eat whatever's around
him. Like, clover and stuff?
Yeah, and then he'll puke, and it's
is that, like,
time.
A big-time, like, loyalty to your brand thing?
Yes. So,
it's testing.
Yeah. Do you bring ranch with you to the woods? He said he likes blue cheese.
Blue cheese guy. Why don't you have a cup of coffee there for him to wash it down? He'll pretty much
need beer.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper.
So when I got kids in the shop,
look at this.
Hold on. Can we talk about this on the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, hold on. I got to see this. I'm going behind the counter. I'm infiltrating Shooter's Archery. Okay.
It's hard to get it off.
What do you got here? Explain. Holy crap, that is awesome.
It's like a rubber koozie, but it looks just like a Dr. Pepper can.
And it, so you
and
can
it slides
see
over your
indoor
beard.
Season when it's busy as heck, and I got tons of kids in here.
And you
got
to like keep your sanity.
Keep my sanity. I got tons of kids in here.
That's a pro tip.
They're always asking me why I'm drinking so many Dr. Peppers. Well,
it says you deserve this on it. Does Dr. Pepper can say that on it?
No.
That is awesome.
I can't get it off now.
You guys have everything set up here. It's awesome.
Like, you know, you're at ATA and you're like trying to be a little more professional or whatever,
yeah,
but
yeah.
You're still being.
You still want to party too.
You still want to party a little bit because ATA is one big party. So,
we, I probably shouldn't talk about this. We're probably the only crew that sneaks in like several coolers of beer into ATA. What? Oh, man.
I've actually seen those before, but I've never seen one in person. I've always seen them online.
I'm sold.
I was talking about it, the customer bought it for me.
I'm buying one of these.
Because I think they have, like, Mountain Dew and all kinds
Mountain
of
Dew,
stuff.
Pepsi.
Oh, that's fantastic.
What do you got, a Mountain Dew one, Kristen? What's
that's a pro tip. We need to make these with the Working Class Bowhunter logo on them. Like, it's some... We should make some generic ones that look like it's, like, a shitty version of, like, a LaCroix or something.
Like Dr. WCB. Mountain Doctor or Mountain WCB.
Yeah. Working Class Mist.
Are you going to get a video of it?
Here we go. That's hilarious. Man, I'm just literally wandering around with the podcast equipment. Well, I'm trying to double task here. That way we don't keep everybody here longer than we need because Josh is setting bows up. Kristen's just looking pretty over here, hanging out. Joe's a stallion.
He's swarthy.
Swarthy?
There you go. Now you're drinking Dr. Pepper.
Ice cold.
Joe, what are you doing, man? Joe's shooting.
It's been a long time since I could just, like, stand around and shoot.
What, who's bow? That's not your bow.
No,
not your
shad's right now.
See the difference?
Oh, yeah.
What are you guys doing right now, shooting? What are you comparing or what?
Looking at his old bow versus what he's getting now. And the
are you really
cycle.
Buying this bow,
I'm
Shad?
Buying this bow, yeah, today.
Like right now, huh?
Yeah, before I go home. Yeah. I love primes.
Yeah.
And the Black Series, the draw cycle is a lot different.
What are you shooting now? What's this green one?
CT5. The Prime CT5, this is last year's Prime model. They came out with the Black 3 for 2020.
And you're switching up, huh?
Yeah, it's 3 inches shorter, or 2 inches shorter, but it feels a lot better.
I like the look.
The draw cycle reminds me more of what I feel when I shoot a traditional bow.
No kidding.
Because it's, there's just, it doesn't break over till the very, very, very end of it, so I'm just constantly pulling weight, which is what I'm used to doing.
Ooh, I like the feel of this. It's like lighter than it looks.
It's and it shoots great.
It looks sturdy. Real sturdy.
So yeah, I have to purchase it.
I have to. What's your wife think about that?
I have a very tolerant wife. She's very appreciative of all the archery stuff that I bring home as long as I do stuff like buy her cars and stuff. So
well,
it's a trade-off. It's a trade-off.
Let's walk, Joe.
Let's walk.
How often do you get up to Shooter's Archery?
Quite a bit, because I'm either bringing down some big time for them because they sell it like crazy, or you know, Josh with my bow is like my man satchel. He's the only other dude that gets to touch it.
Your man satchel.
No, I mean he does all the work on
that's
my bow and everything.
Shot.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
I'm loving that new bow.
Let's talk about number 5 over here.
It's impressive. Do you get a drifter?
We set up a hunting scenario.
Okay.
He was on lane 15.
On lane 15.
I was like, shoot the middle one under 5, but you got to thread the gap between the two block targets at 10.
That's fun. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dang, Joe.
Honestly, man, with this new bow,
What bow are you shooting?
I'm shooting the Matthews VXR, the 31 and a half.
Yeah.
And I haven't had this much fun shooting.
What's your draw length?
29.
I'm 28. I haven't shot a Matthews in years.
You want to shoot one today?
Yeah, I'd throw their loose on and shoot one. Might as well. We're at a pro shop.
Might as well. Yeah, I mean, honestly, usually when I come in, Josh is so busy.
Yeah.
I don't get to just kind of hang out, shoot the bow, because, I mean, it's just a line out the door.
Yeah, yeah.
So coming in today, kind of taking over.
On
their day off.
On the Lord's day.
I'm going to take full advantage of it and just shoot every arrow I can.
Yeah.
Well, which is why I'm buying this bow today, because every other time I've came in here, I haven't had the time.
What's your draw?
29.
I'm 20. I could still shoot them and get a rough feel for it, but... Hell yeah.
We're a little westy in you.
And the new, yeah. the new prime.
A little short arms.
Short. Yeah, a huge piece on me, so...
Exactly.
That's not true either. Hold this. Let me grab my release. It's yep. Important. You just want to talk to the top guy there.
All right.
And then you
get really close to it, like Borat. He's like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Let
me grab my release.
I want to shoot your bow. You know? So Kurt's going to shoot everybody's bow now.
Everybody's. I think this is how you find stuff out, right?
I think it is.
Do you want me to rate them?
Yeah.
Because I've shot Elite exclusively for going on 6 years now. 6.5 years? 6 years? Something like that. So I'll rate them. I want to get closer, though, because I don't know. I'll get up to... Oh, yeah, I'll do that right there. This is your unit, huh, Joe?
That's my unit.
We've never done it. I'm going to shoot one of your regulars. So this is a Matthews.
Yep.
VXR.
31.5.
What year is this? A newer one?
Right, this is this year's.
I like the grip. It's stout feeling.
I'm shooting 65 pounds. I like them. It's like Christmas.
It's going to be a little long. 65?
Yeah.
There's like a big rollover in the cam compared to my Elite. Oh, man. I didn't even look down the peep just because it's not the same fit. I like it. I'm going to do one more out of it so I can give a review.
He's going to do one more.
He's going to do one.
Am I like comparing to my bow? Should I just do a breakdown of what
I
feel?
Yeah, like? I mean...
And then you have to do the two primes just so
I'll shoot
you
the
can
primes.
Tell me that I'm full of shit and I should just stick to
I like the bow. It feels like, I mean, I don't, like quality wise, it feels really nice. But I feel, let me shoot it again. It's a harsher draw cycle than my Elite.
A lot more weight to it, too.
A lot more weight. I feel a little hand shock, but I'm not.
Really?
Yeah, just compared to my Cure. But I haven't shot that Cure a whole lot. I've shot it 12 times today, yeah. But I like this. It feels like the smooth on it, but it's sturdy. Would I buy one right now? I don't know. But I do like it. They're all good, right? Like yeah, there's not a bad bow in this.
That's
shot.
All it comes down to. I mean, there's not a bad bow. It's just what fits.
I feel like you guys are being all quiet, and I was just talking.
Can I shoot it?
Yeah, you can shoot it.
So which one?
I'm just kidding. Your face. You looked a little uneasy.
This is the Black 3.
That's the one you're buying?
This is the brand new one, yes. And this is the one that I currently shoot.
Let me shoot the new one.
No. Shoot the old one first so you can tell the difference. Shoot that one first here.
This is the what?
That is the Prime CT5.
Prime CT5. Yes. I don't know what's picking up on audio and what's not.
It's 35-inch axle-to-axle. It's around, like, low 60s poundage. I don't know, somewhere in that area.
I like the grip. Well, you got your
I've done
like,
that myself. I did that to make it feel more...
This grip, like, hugs your hand, I feel like.
Yeah,
I like this grip a lot.
I did it to have some palm swell, because that's what I'm used to with my traditional
bow. I like the shape of the riser where the grip's at a lot on this bow. I don't know.
You'll feel a difference when you get to that one.
Joe's upset that I didn't like his bow as much as he thought I would.
I'm not upset. I'm just like paying attention to this machinery you got me holding.
Whoa, solid back wall.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Concentrating on not dropping.
Yeah.
I like the draw cycle on this prime a lot. Let me shoot one more.
Shoot one more.
Hold up.
Hold up.
What I feel like there's a little hand shock in this guy, too. Hey, Duck.
When Josh says hold up, he means it. He's coming through.
Yeah. He's like, hold this up. Is my day off, you dicks.
I don't care if you're doing a review.
Yeah. Fuck your podcast.
This is my day off.
Yeah, it's my day off, you piece of shit. I just bought you pizza. Eric shooting through paper up there with his bow.
What's Eric shooting? The Cure?
Cure. And Realtree Escape.
Yeah, it looks pretty sweet.
I like that color a lot, or color pattern. The Elite, like, wrap or color fusion or whatever they call it. It's like, it looks a little more vibrant than other bows.
Yeah, I think it looks really good. Says that Cures have come a lot more out of the box.
One thing about Josh, he will break everything down for you.
Yeah. So they just shot Eric's bow through paper, and what we're gathering from a distance is that it shot through paper exactly how they... Mine was bullet hole first arrow.
It was a complete pass through, through the paper.
Yeah. Mine was, it went right through it.
Good job, guys.
He got a bullet hole, I think, first shot from what we're gathering. Mine was, and I heard him say that most of the Cures are bullet holes when they shoot through out of the box.
Yeah.
I always said the rituals weren't that way. It took a little bit of tuning and...
I had the Ritual 35, and it took a little bit.
I shot last season. I love that bow a lot.
One and done?
One and done, huh?
Yep, another one and done.
Nice.
One pump jump.
Two for two. Hey, Doug, don't be a bitch once your bow gets set up, you know? One pump jump.
You're here for an hour.
I'm still excited about my Doug tattoo.
Disappointed? You're going to get a Doug tattoo?
No.
Okay, here I go. I'm shooting another arrow through the prime. Prime what?
CT5.
No pressure.
There's limb stops on this, I'm assuming.
Is your paper on all
the way? I'm not really, I'm just...
Well, I was telling you I was going to have you work on it, because I've stretched the string. Yeah. But if I'm buying a new bow, then that doesn't matter.
I like it. I feel like there's a little hand shock, but it's manageable for sure. I like the draw cycle on this bow a ton.
Now, the draw cycle on that one and the draw cycle on the Black 3, or the Black Series, is completely different.
It is?
Yes. And that's why I wanted you to shoot that one first.
I don't know how I feel about the dual cam thing.
It's
I feel like you get like mud and sticks wedged in between those things and have something catastrophic happen when I draw.
No, I've been using them for a while and I've never had
it. Is that of concern to anybody, you think?
It's not to
me. Or has it ever been a thing?
I don't know.
I've killed three deer with those dual cams and a turkey.
And I don't know what I'm talking about. So like everyone that's listening, if we air this, don't write me all pissed off because one.
Now
I just,
this one's going to be weird, fuck, but because my heavy ass arrows and this Whisker Biscuit don't jive well.
Okay,
so
I like the way the prime grip feels. It like hugs my hand.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Joe, you got lighter arrows. Get him the lighter arrows.
Yeah, I don't shoot 550 grain arrows.
Well, you should. Get one of those. Because that's what you do when you're a goddamn adult.
Yeah.
You shoot heavy arrows.
All right. Kurt's uneducated bow review.
Volume one.
I just like the colors. They're so nice.
It's a sweet color.
I do like the grip a lot. I just like it. It feels right on my hand. I'll go over here so I don't. Ooh, that's like a heavy rollover.
But you see what I'm saying now, how there's constant pressure all the way to the back, and then it's just gone.
Yeah. This feels strange to me.
Which, for a guy...
There's no sight or stabilizer on this either, so I like it. I personally like the draw cycle on that other one a lot better.
Yeah.
But that's me, you know?
Well, that's because that's what you're used to.
Yeah, yeah.
For a guy who's not used to having let off all the way back to his 28-inch draw on a longbow.
And this is an inch long for me, too.
Like, yeah, for sure.
I like them. I like the grip a lot on the prime. It just fits my hand really nice.
And the crazy thing about the primes is everything is right in the center of the bow.
Yeah. Yeah, like the riser's like offset.
Right? No, it's got a swerve to it. It's in the center, but the riser's swerved.
Okay, I guess that's what I was looking for, but...
Yeah.
I like it. I don't know.
I'm not a prime salesman or anything, so I don't know. You have to talk to your boy Johnny
about
that.
What's the deal with the these tabs on the outside of the axles?
Those are to hang in our ears whenever we need a bow holder.
Oh, you would just put them in our gauge?
That's what that's exactly for.
Well,
gauge piece.
Right. What is it for?
Does I have no idea.
I don't know.
There's a lot of shit on there
Josh
that
has
I don't
to know.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh.
What's up?
Let's go to Josh next.
On the outside of these prime axles, what are these tabs?
I'm going to buy a shooter pouch, actually.
So those are actually, a lot of guys use them for their drop away, like a limb driven rest.
Oh, really?
You can actually tie off the load and use it for, instead of tying to your limb where it'll kind of slip sometimes.
Yeah.
You can actually, tie off your up cord or down cord off of those right there.
Okay. I'm not sure if you guys heard that. He said.
That's the main reason. But, you know, some of the older bows used to run your yokes off of that.
Right. That's what I thought it could have been.
That's what it used to be, but now they must have just kept that same system. But I know a lot of guys.
Limb driven rest.
Yeah, for like limb driven rest. Which is pretty popular. Instead of tying off the limb, if anybody's ever had one, on the flex of that, those parallel limbs like that, a lot of times it'll slide up and down on that limb, which will change your timing.
Oh.
Well, that's a consistent timing all the time by tying off
on the end
to those.
Yep. Oh, cool. I like it.
I still think it's for hanging from your ears.
We'll go with that. Put them in your gauges.
Yeah.
And that way, when you got old dudes come in, they're going to be like, you know, you got holes in your ears? I'm like, oh. No I keep extra peep sats in there.
You can believe Josh's technical mumbo jumbo all you want, but for real, that's not what it's for.
He's wrong.
He's 100% wrong most of the time.
Well,
we're what else are you going to shoot?
We're just bullshit around.
Should I shoot one more?
Here, you want to shoot the new PSC, the new deadly edition?
Well, I don't want to just like be pulling shit off their rack and slinging arrows through it.
This is what you do in a bow.
We're infiltrating. So far, I liked all of them.
I know you Western boys don't understand that.
Which one's this?
This is the Deadly.
Oh, the PSC Evo NTN?
Knock on Nation bow. I shot this bow a minute ago.
What's the draw length on this unit?
I don't know. Longer than what you're used to.
Oh, long old unit.
29, I think.
I'll shoot it. Fuck it. We're here. 29.5, 30. You want to be my mic holder, Joseph?
Joe, get back over here and do your job.
Very
good. Joe's like,
I'm into it.
I must monitor audio. I was built for this. So, shooting a PSC now. It's kind of fun. It's so exciting. There
you go. They don't have bow shops like this in Illinois.
Yeah. You got to come to Indiana in these parts to do this. So, this is a PSC.
I'm guessing mid to upper 60s on that draw weight. That's kind of what I felt.
Well, the roller guard is different looking. That's kind of cool. Neat, you don't say. All right. I will say I like this grip. Not at all. If I'm being completely honest. Come over on this side with me, Joe. I'm not a fan of that feel of that grip, but that's me. It's just personal preference, I guess. All right, let's see. It's long as shit for me. Goo. Jesus. I don't like this bow.
That's exactly what I shot at after the first time I shot it. I was just like, sometimes you just pick up a bow and you go, nope.
That's long, but not for me. I'd put this at the last of the line for me already. I don't even want to shoot another arrow out of it.
Let's see what else we got.
I'm just being honest. Sorry.
I like this grip, not at all. I don't like this bow.
Well, I could
go ahead and make that one official.
I could beat around the bush. All right. Well, I'm not a fan of that one.
You don't like that one?
I didn't like that one very much. No? Shad's like, all right, let's pick another one out. Is there a Bowtech ready to shoot?
There's a Bowtech right here.
Yeah, let me try that one. I haven't shot a Bowtech in years.
I don't know if I've ever shot a Bowtech.
Really? I'm not against it.
I shot a diamond, which is basically a Bowtech.
Yeah,
back in the Gander day.
That's
man.
Right, yeah, because that's all we had. My wife had
all we had to shoot.
My wife had an Infinite Edge for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my son killed his first, Chase killed his first bow deer with an Infinite Edge. This is a Range 6. It's a 2970. They don't have little guy bows in here, I guess.
Yeah, so these are all long for me. I don't know how this is. People are going to be like, they're all long. He's an idiot. So this is the Bowtech grips. I do like the grip.
It's just not an exchange.
Just shooting all your arrows, Joe.
That's okay.
I do like the grip on this. Which model is this again? Bowtech Range 6. And this has... Never mind. I was going to say it has the same look to the... outside of the axles, but they got the yokes, I think.
That's what it's called. All right, let's try this one out. This is 29 and 70 pounds, so this is still an inch long for me. Solid back wall. I like that.
Jeez. I don't mind.
Long as hell. I like this a smidge more than the PSE, but I still would not buy this bow. That's my rating.
Is that your
professional? So if I had to 1 to 10 scale all the bows I shot, the Matthews, I give an 8. I give the first prime, which is what? The
CT5.
The CT5. I give that a 9. I give the other one a 6. I give the PSE a 2. And I give this Bowtech a 4.
Huh. That's, I mean, that's a review, right? It's a person's review. Honest opinion. That's what you're
that's
supposed to
That's my preference, right, and feel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's do this then. Keep him talking, Joe.
Chad's all jacked up about this.
He is just grabbing bows. Here comes the stick.
Now.
Okay, hold on.
Now you're going to review this.
Wheels are for cars.
And don't shoot my bow, we'll break it.
Let's come over here to this canine target.
We got a self longbow.
It's
with,
not self longbow, it's a longbow.
Whatever, it's self longbow.
Holy shit.
We got some Who's beaver this? Balls.
This is mine. It's Josh has had it for a couple years.
Is this Joe's beard hair on the rest?
It's probably.
So you want me to do one over, two under?
Whatever you want.
Okay.
It's
son of a bitch.
Let's go 3 under, because it's going to help hold that on there.
Okay.
So just, yeah, just push under 3 under. This was built by a guy that lives probably an hour away from here.
Okay.
Scott Mitchell down in Bloomington. It's a Timberhawk longbow.
Okay. This is a longbow.
Put your hand right up in here. Like that.
Yeah, but not like this.
Keep that finger down out of the way or it's going to catch on the feathers.
Okay. I feel like I got to keep it cantered.
Yeah, canted just a little bit.
All right, we're shooting another wolf.
Turn your hat around, though. Because you're going to catch that.
It'll be cool if the trap gets.
Yeah.
Now he's got the pressure.
Working class, traditional.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Nice shot.
Oh.
Smoked.
I played you guys. I like this better than the PSE for sure. Okay, now I'm just being hard on it because it's kind of funny. Okay, don't expect another bullseye.
They did it again.
Kind of an OG.
He's a longbow guy from the start. Look at that.
I do like that a lot. I feel like I'm not getting all the way back to where my draw length should be.
Well, you are getting back to where your draw length is because your finger's coming right to here. So okay. That's where your draw length is.
Okay.
So remember the story you heard yesterday about the first buck that I killed with a traditional bow?
Yeah, yeah.
That was with this bow.
No kidding.
Yep.
I do like the feel of this.
To your point, though, being a compound guy,
yeah.
Like when I started just playing around with him,
yeah.
It never felt like I was coming to full draw.
Yeah, that's. I feel like I'm.
Make sure your hand's here. That's where it should sit right there.
I feel like I'm short drawing everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're not. That's right here is where you want to go, right to the.
I like that. This is fun. The fun factor on traditional equipment is, I don't want to say it's way more, but it's definitely more. I don't know if it's because it's new, but it's like the. It's like it brings you back to the roots of it all. It's like you forget about like being pissed. Like you're not mad when you miss.
Yeah.
You might be if it's a giant buck, but like target shooting.
You'll never have more fun missing stuff.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You never have more fun missing stuff. Well, cool. There's my section of this podcast for bow reviews. I'm probably going to get some hate on that. But gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit? Thank you, Eric. Okay. Well, I don't know. Would we check back in with Josh, or is Josh over me putting this mic in his face?
Josh is in the zone.
So you're putting, you're hooking Doug's bow up now.
Yep. Right now we're pot tying in his D loop.
He's doing work.
As you guys see, I'm putting little serving knots right now. A lot of bow shops, not pro shops, will do. This right here is keeping you from, especially like you get the bear shaft tuning and pepper tuning later.
Yeah.
You get like a knock high or knock low tear. A lot of times it's because there's too much pinch in that knock.
Really?
So, in one quick way, like if you take your field tip off and pull back, that sucker comes flying up off of there.
Yeah.
Generally, it's because there's too much pinch back here.
Oh, really?
So, this is all, it all starts right here. If you got bad knocks, if you got too much pinch, it's starting arrow and batter flight from the very beginning.
Well, it makes sense. It's like the first contact of.
Mm-hmm. And what's really cool here is as you start to make, you go through D loops, right? You start off a small one, you want it kind of long, or maybe you're eating through one or whatever. Well, every time you take that off, now these knocking points are still here.
Mm.
Nothing changes. Like, and you guys know on HHAs, it's very important to not lose that knocking point because you're now 1 yard off on your sight tape, and yeah. you got to peel it off and have a whole new one, the exact same one to put on there.
Yep.
This will allow you to change some different things. And so, it, you know, if you can go like this with it, spinning it yeah. like that, and it's not going anywhere, then it's not too tight.
Gotcha.
You do this.
So twist your string with the arrow knocked, and if yep. it's not kicking the arrow around.
Yep, if your D-loop's spinning back and forth in there, then you're good to go.
Awesome.
You know, like if I'm sitting at rest here, I want a little bit of, just a little gap there.
Yeah.
Just because when I come to full draw, it's going to close up that gap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing now.
Is that, you think that's one of the more common issues with tuning?
Yeah, especially, you know, the average guy, paper tuning even, it's not that big of a deal. You start bear shaft tuning, I mean, everything magnifies. I mean, your form's not perfect. Everything's, I mean, it's hard.
Is it just because you don't have fletchings correcting the arrow for
exactly.
you?
Exactly, absolutely. So if you get a bear shaft flying good, then you know the fletchings are only bonus.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
a lot of guys, they are not into that, but I tell you what, anybody wants to get into fixed blade, broadhead, tuning, I mean, this all starts with the bear shaft.
Really?
Because that vein is going to fix it. And most times what happens is you're hitting what you're aiming at, not mm-hmm. 20 yards. So you think, hey, that's flying good.
Yeah.
But actually, in all reality, that first 5 yards that comes out, it's scooting. Mm-hmm. And then that fletching fixes it, and then it hits it.
Right, right.
So one important thing, you know, the guy says, well, why it's hitting where I want it to, what's the big deal? Well, you're losing energy out of that arrow as soon as it's trying to fix it. You're throwing a football with the spiral and without one.
Yeah,
it's so much harder and farther it goes with the spiral. Same concept. That arrow is flying absolutely perfectly true. Then, I mean, you're getting all energy, and you start shooting animals at 50, 60, 70 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You want momentum in your favor driving that arrow. Not,
yeah.
oh, we had to fix it the first 5 yards. Okay, now we're good to go.
Right, right.
You know?
No,
so,
that makes a ton of sense.
Mm-hmm. So at 20 yards, what I like to do, my finish bow is at 20 yards, my bear shaft and flesh shaft are hitting the exact same points, mm-hmm. like stacked on top of each other.
At 20.
At 20 yards. Yeah, you can go further than that, but at that point it's tough because if you don't execute a perfect shot, that bear shaft's magnifying everything.
Right.
That makes sense because there's no fletchings on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's I do a lot of that. Bear shafting is not like everybody's thing.
So when you shoot a bear shaft out of a bow and it's not doing what you want it to do, what's the first step? And like say, and maybe my scenario I'm going to lay out is incorrect because I'm ignorant to it. You shoot your bear shaft at 20 and it's like 5 inches left. And then your fletch is on the X.
Yep. You got to slowly start moving that rest. I mean, minutely.
It's all in the rest.
It's all in the rest, you know, at that point. But in most scenarios, but luckily you guys shoot cures. So it's all going to be able to be fixed just a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a minute, you can move the rest a little bit. It's not the end of the day.
Yeah.
But when it comes to whenever it comes to the actual most bows, it's going to be in the rest. But these bows or a yoke cable or some different systems where you can manipulate it without having to do it with the rest.
Dang it, man. You made me want to do all that shit.
You guys should be. I'm telling you. It's not that hard. And a lot of it's just tinkering. Like, you just got to... Every bow's different. Every arrow setup. Like, how do you know that's the best arrow that shoots out of that? How do you know that's the best rest for you? Like, how do you know these... How do you know that's the best draw? Like, you don't know until you shoot them. Or how do you know that's not the best arrow weight or the FOC, the front and center weight that you want.
Dang it, dude. You make me want to get a bow pressed and start doing this shit. Like you said, too, like, man, you guys are, we're into it enough that we could justify having all this equipment.
It'll blow your mind how much, and there's the luxury, I was telling you earlier, the luxury of now having YouTube to go on and reference off of. It'd be different if there's just one Joe Schmo on there, but there's like 15 people talking about the same category.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just find your kind of two or three guys that you like and it makes sense.
Yeah.
And kind of roll with them. Or I go off of, if it's something new, like working on a bow even. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm not quite familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
I go off there and I watch 15 or 10 of the same video. And 7 out of 10 guys are doing the exact same thing. Pretty good chance that's
probably
what you need to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sense.
And you might tweak a little off that later, but that's going to give you where it's not intimidating you. You can
confidence in knowing.
Yeah.
Like,
you're not going to screw it up at least.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Some of the moves you're making and stuff like that.
There's no reason why you guys, especially the three of you, put your heads together, can't bounce ideas and new tuning things off.
Figure some shit
figure
out.
Figure stuff out.
I think the most intimidating thing for guys, and I'm just kind of speaking for myself here, but I would assume is like,
putting a bow in the bow press seems scary because you don't want to, like, fuck up and blow your bow up or do something crazy. Or, you know, I don't know how to, like, tie in certain things and do all that. Like, that stuff I'll have to tackle. And I'm sure it's not that bad once you start getting into it. But.
Well, I'll tell you, like, one thing. For example, like, you guys get new string cables, right?
Yeah.
Say you hook up with some company and they're sending you custom string cables. Well, generally that stuff doesn't come already twisted to where it needs to. Like, you just assume, like, I take this off and put that on there that it's going to be spec like it should be from the factory of the bow.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I can't tell you how many that I'll get that to get that brace height and then that axle, all that same let off, that same poundage and draw length all to be exactly the same. You might have to do some manipulating to the string, to the cables. I mean, timing's going to have to be adjusted. Like, all that stuff.
It's not as simple as just slapping on a new string.
Most of your bow shops are going to slap it on there. A person that, a pro shop or somebody a little bit more takes the next level, is going to put that bow back to spec to where it needs to be. The timing, the axle, all that, the appropriate amount of twist on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you get it, it's going to be just like the bow before with a brand new string on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't tell you how many guys will come in, man, I got this new string cables and it's just never shot the same since. Yeah, and I paid $200 for a custom set. Well, they don't just come. Especially all day, the guy takes out the package and lets it down, sits it down, and took three twists just fall out of that sucker.
Yeah, yeah.
And they put it back on there, and they don't even realize.
Oh, man, that's intimidating. Yeah. See, that's scary. Right there. Just
so, and I was telling Eric a while ago, like, what you guys need to do, like I used to do when I first started. Now I have bows to reference off most of the time, and I know the cam system, so I automatically know them.
Yeah.
What you guys need to do, instead of being intimidated by it, just come over here, take pictures of how all that cable, string, everything's on there.
Yeah.
So if you take stuff off and you change something and put it back, you can go back to reference that picture and say, okay, put that back like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, change everything. Like, make sure that it crosses, these cables cross here or the other way. Yeah.
Now that makes sense.
A little more sense like that. Mm-hmm. And especially between the three of you, you can figure it out. But you guys really need to start tinkering a little bit. It's so much easier now than ever.
I've never had anybody make me feel so bad about what I don't know about archery until I come here.
And
I'm just going to buy a crest. I just need to do it.
And I learn something new every freaking, just like whitetail hunting, man. Yeah. It's just like whitetail. I learn something new every day. Mm-hmm. And I'll change. Like, the one method that I've been trying to do, well, I'll change it. It don't take much to change my mind on something that might be better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's always a better way of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that out. And
there's a lot to it, man. Like, it's another rabbit hole to where, it's like there's a basic get on paper and go, you know, you're hitting the paper plate at 20 type tuning and setup, and then there's I want to hit dimes. I want to be the stud at the archery shoot. I want to be a stud at the working class bow and archery shoot that's and shooting doors in the 14 ring at 75.
You guys are something wrong with someone's bow, you help.
Yeah, you can help people out and stuff.
We had something going on. What was cool, man.
But yeah, you guys definitely need to get into it.
Yeah,
we hosted our ASA state qualifier.
I'm not going to promise you're going to make you shoot any better, but your bow is going to be as forgiving as possible, and you can't make any excuses there.
It's good stuff to know, too. Like you said, if you have an issue, you don't have to run into a shop that they might not even know the issue, and you can handle it yourself. Like,
the way I look at it, man, is everything, we've all been there, we've all watched the hunt, that an inch could have made all the difference.
Yep.
And if you're forgiving your bow that extra inch, and you caught the top of the lungs instead of missing everything, like, those are hard ones to swallow. 10 years looking back, you still remember those situations. Or you missed that much under the belly, you know, because you didn't realize that broadhead actually, you didn't practice with it. You just shot your field tips and thought, they told me on the package that it flies just like my field tips. Well, there's just enough drag that it slows it down a yard, and you're shooting just on, you know, like little things like that.
A lot of stuff that an average guy does not factor in.
And they always want to blame it on the product.
Right. And then they go to Facebook instead of actually reaching out to somebody that matters. And Well, cool, man. Well, I appreciate you letting us bother you and come in and
Helping us.
And helping us out and kind of talking us through a lot of
this. Teaching us some stuff.
I love this stuff, man. This is...
If somebody wants to find the shop or find you guys in any way, go ahead and just plug it if you don't mind.
Yeah, so obviously Facebook is that platform is always easy because you can message us on there. It's like a text message.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. One thing, too, just because we're here in Indiana doesn't mean people all over the country, I'll sell bows to, and I'll tune that bow to whatever that arrow setup they want.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, that's just for me. I'm tuning it to me. So you might have to do a little bit more tuning for yourself if you have more facial pressure or more torque to your bow or different stabilizer setup or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But generally that means that bow's leaving here almost like it's been shot out of a machine. Like it's tuned.
So somebody from Iowa could call you up.
Call me up.
I want a Elite Cure and I want it tuned up like this.
Yeah, with an Eastern Axis 300 spine with I want 50 grains up front or I'm shooting this kind of poundage and I'll spec it all to that and I'll send it to you. You know, you pay over, obviously, pay over the phone or whatever and then send it to you and then you can you know, if you want some little minute changing on the peep sight or whatever, then you could take it to the
other
guy.
That's awesome. That's
so
cool.
Josh, we'll just have our bows drop shipped here.
Absolutely.
So we get them, and you can just set them up and ship them to us.
I'd rather do that, to be honest with you. So,
especially with everybody's schedules.
That way I can come in on my own time, and I can, like now, I can spend the time with you guys. If it's a normal day, a normal Saturday in here, dude, it'd be chaos right
now.
I can't spend that extra time with you this time of year.
You want to take time for us on a Saturday?
And I do apologize to people all the time. Like, when it gets our busy season, like, if you want the stuff super tuned, don't come in August.
Yeah.
Don't come in September.
You should be well before
I'm spending 12-hour days here every day. I just can't do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Come in June. You know, come in the off season. Like, you know, we do a lot of league stuff in the winter. Like, come in then. That's the time to tinker with stuff. That's the time.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you can erase it. Because most stuff you tinker with, you got to give it some time. You got to give it a couple weeks, a month before, because it's a big change.
Right.
Especially as a bow hunter, we don't like changes. Like, we want what we know already.
Yeah, that's kind of like where I'm at. We're getting our bows set up late. Seems like we're always getting our new bows set up late, but it's shooting every day, lots of arrows until our first hunt's in a month and a half, a little over a month and a half.
Yeah.
So it's
well, the good thing, these elites all have the same feel to them, so it ain't like it's a major, major change.
Cool thing, too, because you're 28-inch draw, aren't you, Eric?
Yep.
And we shoot the same arrows.
Yep.
And the same sights, pretty much. So shit really hits the fan. We practice with each other's bow a little bit. And you never know. That's like when my dad and I did some of those Western hunts. We shot the same arrow setups, same draw, everything.
Yeah.
And we were practicing with each other's bows and stuff. So.
Yeah, that's something Josh and I can't do. You can shoot my bow.
Sure, but,
yeah. I killed that turkey this spring with my wife's Elite Spirit, which is super funny. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, set to her draw length, or like...
Yeah, I practice with it.
You guys watch it. At some point, you're going to see some footage where I'm going to eventually shoot
a deer with her bow.
Because I hate... Like, if it's not like a rut hunt, it's like October, where you're like just lucky to kill one, like, I'm not taking both bows in the tree. Especially all the camera gear that's
it. Yeah, and it's easier for you to shoot her bow than it is for her.
Yeah, so...
Could you pull his back?
Oh, no, I'm sure not. No, probably not.
Just because the draw length's probably way too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not because you're weak or nothing like that, you know?
No.
See what he did?
I know. Thanks, Ben.
She can actually pull back. You'd be surprised how much poundage, but I just don't let her.
Should we see? Should we have a
test?
Competition?
We'll see how much weight you can pull. Well, there,
you pull more.
My rule, I have a rule of thumb that if you can, the whatever weight, I don't care if it's 80 pounds, if it's 40 pounds, whatever you can sit down your butt and pull straight back, that's the weight you need to be hunting with.
Yeah. Well, especially
because
when it's cold weather.
Cold weather, people do not understand that. Adrenaline hits.
And you're sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Or for example, like I've seen scenarios where a person is, you know, they pulled back and held forever, and they got let down and pulled back again,
mm-hmm.
Dude, they're toast.
Yeah.
Like, flat out toast.
You're exhausted.
And they just can't, and they've been doing, I don't understand why I didn't. The last thing I want to see is you can't pull your bow back with 160-inch deer in front of you.
Yeah.
You want to talk about vomit all over the place.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, you spent all that time. You guys, huh? You know, this is real life. Like, 160-inch deer opportunities a year.
Very rare, slim.
So if you couldn't pull your bow back because you wanted to be a hero and couldn't pull back that weight.
Because you wanted to be a hero.
Yeah.
Well, I shoot 65, so I think it's a happy medium.
Yeah.
And then, like, my dad shoots 55.
Yeah.
What do you, I mean?
55.
See, that's good. Like, you're short and, like, fairly small. My wife shoots, she doesn't deer hunt a lot. But
my wife's at 40 pounds, which is, like, super manageable for her. But she's not really hunting a lot.
With a fixed blade broadhead, 40 pounds is
Yeah.
My wife has had two pass-throughs on deer at 42 and, like, 40 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 40 pounds will kill a deer for sure.
If you have a heavy cut on impact arrow, and you got your animal close, it'll blow right through one.
Yeah, for sure.
It should fit on that.
Well, I'm going to close her out. Appreciate you guys' camaraderie, and thanks for letting us take over.
Yeah, for sure. It was fun having you guys.
Hey, you guys are good people. Shooters Archery and Linton. Why do I do that?
That sounds cooler, though.
So find us like four times.
I can't. I don't remember town names.
On Facebook or Instagram, or just call us up. Line as well.
Cool. Or hit us up, and we'll get you in contact. So we did have a lot of people reach out about getting arrows built, and I sent them over. I don't know if they ever called you, but
we've had a bunch of those.
Good. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. The Real Bow Shop Talk podcast, kind of on the fly and random, but fun. Sorry, PSE. All right, go shoot your bow. We love you.